Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word, and we get to have all kinds of things in front of us, your blessings and the troubles of the world. Lord, we thank you for living at the end of the age as we do. We pray for our eyes to be focused on you as we see what is around us in the world. Guide us and protect us, Lord, for the coming days are going to be interesting. We pray in Jesus' name. Many people love this time of year of celebration of Jesus Christ, and we get the pleasure of our visits with family and friends. Lord, we give you thanks for all the wonderful things that we have in life. Lately, I have had people ask me about what I talked about on the broadcast, and I kind of say that I talk about what's on my mind and my heart, and that I like to talk about what is going on in the world, and that we love God and love our neighbor, just like Matthew 22:37 says. So I also like to consider Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12, and they both talk about seeing trouble coming and getting out of the way of the trouble. These days, there are many in America who have a sense that big trouble is coming, but many people are not sure what to do. Well, of course not, because we don't know what is coming, except we do have our Bible tell us in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 about things that are coming, and you know it's going to be a little bit of a concern, or a lot of concern, so we can do a few things to get prepared for just in general what kind of things could happen to us, just like when we go on a trip or when electricity shuts down or anything else. We have a few things that are going to be beneficial to us to get through a tough time. Batteries, the normal things we use, something to cook. All these things are normal and just plain nice. So, Lord, guide us and protect us. Yes, in Jesus' name. There is a lot of normal things going on in life, too. And should we expect normal to continue? Well, what is normal anyway? Well, part of it is what we want. But there's something called normalcy bias, which means that we expect what is normal to continue, and we just cannot see anything else. Do you see trouble coming? Do you see that there could be something, whether it's a flat tire or somehow the money didn't come in or the banking, something happens with that? There are things that happen that we don't expect, and then we have to make some plan to have a little savings to help us through a time of difficulty. And that's a part of the problem with normalcy bias, is that we don't think about what else could be happening to us. And that's always a good thing. If we've been around the world or looked in the cities, we know everything can happen all over this whole world. We get to know normal, whether it's your coffee and bread and jelly in the morning, or whether it's what we do at work. We get to think normal is going to continue, and things often enough change, sometimes a little bit, sometimes a lot. Sometimes it's a crisis, and we have to just remember that there really can be anything that would happen. So let's get a little prepared. Think about our life, our history, and realize that patterns do repeat. Yes, for your personal life. Yes, for corporate life. Yes, for cities and governments. It all repeats. And all we can do is look at the pattern and say, what can I do to keep out of trouble? Well, that's going to be different for everyone, depending on our experiences. And so, yes, we do want to remember that God does provide, and he has given us many of the just plain normal things in life. And we want to remember to love God and love our neighbor as we go through life. Those Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12 talk about trouble coming and avoiding the trouble that is coming. So we want to keep our attention just watchful and see what could happen so that we are protected from whatever the basic concerns are or whatever the big concerns are. Everyone will do it different, and we will figure things out. There's a lot of people talking about financial problems coming our way. What is coming our way? Well, we, of course, are not sure, but we can look at the patterns in the past years or decades, and we can see that there is very likely to be a problem here and a problem there, maybe with basic economics. And maybe it'll be a crash like there was in 2007, 2008. It hurt a lot of people, and a lot of people did not know what to do. They just sat and watched their money disappear or were concerned about what would happen next. That happened in that crash of 2008. And if we study to see what could happen, then we will have a little idea about what to prepare for. There are financial writers who talk about the state of the economy. I think of James Rickards, Harvey Dent, Michael Burry, Warren Buffett. All these people in the hedge funds, they all have ideas, and some of them are warning America and the world to look out. Look out, trouble is coming. Look out because we have a huge national debt, $35 trillion. It keeps increasing and increasing while tax revenue is decreasing and the dollar is losing value and we are losing purchasing power of every dollar that we have. The banks are concerned. The banks are actually warning their preferred customers, you know, the big guys, they are saying, look out, get your assets out of America because we are expecting trouble coming from the shortage of the currency, whether it's $10 bills or $100 bills. There is getting to be a problem. And so the answer to the problem is to have digital currency that can be immediately taken out of your account. Well, I guess if the system works, it'll be very efficient. And that's one of the things that our forefathers did not want. They did not want an efficient government that would be very good at watching each citizen. No, they wanted things to be a little bit of a problem for everybody so that we would pay attention to what was going on. Well, that's what I would add, so that we would pay attention. But we do know that when there is troubles, we watch more carefully at what is going on. So after that 2008, a lot of those money people looked at what was going on, and there were two thoughts. One was that the 2008 event would cause a more severe recession or depression in the future. And the other people thought that, no, it's going to improve from now on, and the economy is only going to improve. Well, so you have those two people with different points of view. Is it going to crash again, or is it going to get better and better? Well, our experience in life tells us what we will be expecting in the future. What are we going to prepare for? Will it be a lovely future or a great big crash? Well, that depends on how your past has been and what you understand. It is all going to be very different. And our founding fathers did tell us about certain, warnings about what could go on. A part of their warnings had to do with the Constitution, which only allowed money in the United States to be a precious metal or a semi-precious metal. So there would be gold dollars and silver dollars and copper cents Now, we think of copper pennies, but pennies are from England, and they're about five times bigger than a 1 cent from America. And that had to do with the basic value of our money. In the olden days, when the English pound had more value, that was because it had more silver. And in that case of the pennies and cents, it had more copper. But this is something that has been a well-known understanding about the basic concept of what is valuable. Money is valuable because it represents something of value. But now it does not. All of our coins are now made out of zinc instead of copper or gold. So the nickels have a high percentage of zinc. The quarters are a high percentage of zinc. And if the quarters were actually silver, they'd be worth $5, roughly. And now they're just worth 25 pennies. So, I'm sorry, 25 cents. I got a little cross there. So pennies and cents is a very interesting concept when you go back to the original concept of what was money. It was what was valuable, and precious metal was valuable. Not so much copper, not so much nickel, but silver and gold, they were precious. So that's the question of what is going on now with our economy too. What's going on in the world? The central banks of the world are buying tons of gold, not just pounds, not just so many ounces of gold bullion. No, they are buying tons of gold. And if you think that's a good idea, then maybe you should buy a few 1 ounce, gold or silver coins. Well, the gold is so expensive. So with an ounce of gold being, well, I guess it's getting pretty close to $3,000 each. And the silver coins are getting over $30 each, maybe $35, something like that. So we have something that is holding its value while United States dollars or Federal Reserve notes are not. So we have to figure out what we are going to do if there is a great crisis in the country. What are we going to do? How are we going to preserve the value of whatever we have? You remember in about 1930, there's a story of a man bringing a bucket load, a wheelbarrow load of cash to the bakery to buy bread. And the baker said, "Oh, sure, we can make a trade. I'll trade you bread for the wheelbarrow," because the paper currency had no value. It was just dumped on the street. Well, that was a story. Was it a true story? It sure could have been. And nowadays we have money around the world being inflated and inflated, so that you can buy $1 million reserve note from different countries for $5. Sometimes there would be a billion of those dollars, and even Zimbabwe has a $1 trillion paper note. It doesn't mean it's worth anything. Is it worth $5? Or $30? It's a matter of what holds its value. And right now we are having a great big problem with everything losing its value because we have borrowed and borrowed so much. And so the Federal Reserve Chairman, they have said, let's see, it was Bernanke and Volcker. Oh, a few years back, was it 20 years ago? They said, they were warning the people who would listen that we were entering uncharted waters. And that was the term they used. One said uncharted waters, the other said uncharted territory. So we know that we might not know what to do. And the big federal or the big money people, they obviously don't know what to do either. So what is our Federal Reserve going to do? And what is the value of money going to be? Well, people for 20, 30 years have been talking about money losing value. I think of David Wilkerson, that pastor from New York City. He said, oh, I guess this is 25 years ago, maybe a little more. He said that the dollar was going to lose its value, and then there was another sort of prophetic guy, Pastor David Wilkerson. Pastor Dana Coverstone. He talked about having a godly dream, a dream that God gave him, where the banks had their roofs blown off and the dollars were blowing in the streets just like they were leaves. So we have had people that have been telling us about dreams or visions or something that just made it so evident to them that the U.S. economy and the dollars were going to dramatically lose value. Of course, we have other things. We have the book of Revelation in chapter 18 talking about the fall of Babylon. And there's a question of if Babylon is the United States. A lot of people believe it is. I think that it pretty much is too. But it could have multiple prophetic and scriptural meanings. Nevertheless, we see people who have talked about a fall of the United States and a collapse of the money system, the economics. Oh, Dimitri Dudeman was one. Henry Gruber was another. And then there have been some modern people who have also had that dream or vision. Yeah, like I said, including that Kentucky pastor, Dana Coverstone. So there is a history of having an understanding that there would be problems, great big problems, coming to America, including George Washington's visions. Back when he was in Valley Forge in 1777, he had a vision that the United States would be invaded and there would be a life and death struggle to maintain our freedom and to kick out the invading forces, which United States was ultimately successful in doing it, but it was a life and death battle to remove the forces of evil that had invaded the United States. That was in George Washington's vision. What do we know? Do we know any of this is true? Well, in a way we don't, but we have the patterns. The patterns are all over Scripture. The patterns are in history books. So we know that there's going to be things going on. Are we going to look at the biblical patterns? There is Ecclesiastes 3:1 that talks about a time for everything. To everything, let the world turn. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 3:1 talks about all the things to get prepared for. Will it be famine? Will it be earthquakes? Will it be war? Yeah, I think so. After all, that's the kind of things the Bible tells us about. And then we have the men of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32 to understand the times. That's what the men of Issachar were looking at, understanding the times that they lived in. There are many of the things in the Bible, whether you want to look at Joel 2 or Acts 2, there are things that people, the Bible says are coming. And yes, sometimes it will be when old men dream dreams and young people prophesy, and there will be wonders in the heavens and on the earth. All these things are talked about, and we get to search it out and try to understand the timing of things. And what is going to happen? We will have to wait and see, because we get an idea from the Bible, but it might not tell us the time frame, just that these things are going to happen. So let us pay attention to what the Bible tells us so that we can know how to prepare. Well, yes, apparently there will be war. Will there be an invasion? Yeah, sure, because that is talked about as a consequence of unfaithfulness in the Bible. I think of Ezekiel 14:13. That whole chapter talks about what will happen if we are not faithful, or how the situation will go. There will be woes that'll affect everybody. Great big terrible things happening. And are they happening now, or is it the beginning? I say, look at the floods around the world. Are they to remind us of Noah's flood and what happens to a sinful, ungodly people? Good question. Well, we do have the reminders coming along, and then some people can only think about getting out of the trouble. And they just over and over again think about, I'm going to be raptured out of here. And that is their focus. Their focus is on the rapture and being taken out of here. Well, I hope everybody gives a very big examination of being obedient to God. Let's do what God wants us to do. And he tells us about how we can be faithful and obedient to him. And I think that's really what we want. We want that loving relationship where we love God by obeying him, and God loves us by giving us the amazing things we need, including miracles. You look at the things that happened in the Bible and how there were miracles of being saved out of a trouble spot, or having food miraculously delivered. Well, that does happen. And yet we're pretty smart these days, and we know how to get food for ourselves anyway. We know how to take care of ourselves and cook food and have warmth. And that's something that we can do too, because we have been given a mind to take care of the things in front of us, to take care of the people around us, the ones we love, and even our the people we might not love. It's something that we do because we're Christian. And so we look at history to try to understand what we can do. We think about, I think about the Christian martyrs in history, and I think about the heroes in Christian history also. How the faithful live. Let's see, there was a book series called Christian Heroes by Jeff and Janet Benji. And those were always inspiring Christian stories. You can always read inspiring Christian stories. You can read about the martyrs too. And while you might think that it's something that is sad that they died, you also know that there is a part of wonderfulness as to what God does to watch over his people. Even as we go through suffering, many times I've heard people say, when we suffer, God is with us, and Jesus is right there, and we have a very strong relation. I've heard people who have been tortured say, I would do it all again, just to be so close to Jesus. So these are the things that make our faith grow stronger and stronger. And we have expectations, and we have to be careful of those expectations, because if we think things are going to get better and better according to what I want, well, we all have our ideas of what is coming and what we want. But sometimes we have to put what we want aside and focus on what God wants. Lord, how can we obey you? Lord, we have all these things that we have hopes for. I remember Corrie Ten Boom. That was about 1962, I think. There was the evangelism the World Congress in, pretty sure it was Chicago. And she spoke and talked about how there were decades of missionaries going to different countries, especially to China. And then when the hard times came to the country of China, there were so many believers who were not expecting hardship, and they, some of them left the faith, and they could not withstand the persecution from the Chinese communists and that Mao guy. So there were many of them who died or were killed, and some of them had a wonderful thing to say about what they went through, and some of them just even left the faith after they had hard times. So we have to be careful in this country to remember every lesson of the Bible, every lesson of Christianity, and know that we want to stand strong for Jesus Christ as we tell other people about the good news of the gospel and how they can have that relation with Jesus Christ for eternity in heaven and not go to hell, which people are destined for. We can be saved from the fires of hell when we put our faith and trust in Jesus according to being born again, as the Bible describes. So whether hard times are coming to America or not, either way, we want to get close to the truth of Jesus Christ. God is complete truth. We want the Holy Spirit with us to show us the truth of God, Jesus. I think of the Christ followers in the Bible and how they will say, well, just like Jesus said. Jesus said this in Luke 22:42? Yeah. Not my will, but thine, Heavenly Father. And so we can say that also to God, to Jesus, not my will, but thine. And Jesus is truth and love, and that is what and who we want to be close to. So we will say again, not my will, but thine, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, yeah, there's plenty of things that we have to struggle in life, and we say, thank you, Lord, for all the good things that we have. Thank you for being with us in our heart and our mind and our spirit and soul. Lord, we have joy with you, with Jesus. And yes, of course, there are earthly pleasures, and there is an eternal heaven, which we have with and through Jesus Christ. And amen. I think of John 3:3. Jesus tells us, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we want to be born again. And of course, we can understand when our spirit belongs to God. We say, yes, Lord, I'm yours. And that's a part of what happens as we are born again, and our thinking changes, and we become a new creature in Christ. And it's a wonderful, beautiful, joyous event. So we can each do that. You can do that. If you haven't yet, do it. If you have done it, get that faith renewed and say, yes, Lord, I belong to you. And then we live in the world. We're not of the world, but we live in the world, and we get to figure out what is going on around us. Just like that, I already said. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 tells us that the wise man sees trouble coming and avoids it. Isn't that just like life? Yes, it is. We see trouble coming and we avoid it. So it happens in big ways and little ways. And it happened for the 2008 trouble with our economic system. It will happen again when we get additional economic trouble. It happens when we need food. It happens when we have a dispute with somebody. We need Jesus. We need God to tell us what to do. Lord, guide us, please, in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, in the United States, there are so many people who see that we're going to have an economic shock again. So will we? Sure, but we sure don't know when. Will it be in a couple of weeks? In a couple of days? In a couple of decades? Really, we're not sure. But we do realize that there are ways to prepare and to stay stable for whatever is coming. And yes, again, I said the Federal Reserve Chairman, who said we are entering uncharted territory, or the other one said uncharted waters. So there are opinions all over the place about the uncertainty that is coming, and we can learn some of the lessons from the Bible. I think of Deuteronomy 28:12, and it tells us that we can lend but not borrow. And oh, has our country borrowed. Now, in the old days, people knew that this was what we did. We would lend but not borrow. And it made a country stable. The United States was stable. People were stable because they also knew this. They didn't borrow money. They saved their money and then bought a house. But nowadays, we buy a house and mortgage our future to say, yeah, I'll pay you $1,000 a month it is, just to live in the house. We're having a mortgage on our future. And the Bible does not seem to support that. It doesn't really condemn it in a way. But that's something that we need to search out and make sure that we are living in a godly way. And we would know better than to have a great big huge personal or national debt. That's not what we have going on. We have things going on that are making our whole life unstable. So what are we going to do? We're going to try to be obedient to the biblical truth. And otherwise, we're going to have a big price to pay, because debt is driving us into poverty. And yeah, it doesn't say that exactly in the Bible. Well, yes, it does. But we have to interpret what is going on. It's not hard to interpret. It's pretty simple. But we see the U.S. dollars becoming more and more, you could say, inflated, or buying less and less. And we are losing our strength because we have lost the strength of our dollar. Now, some people call it the petrodollar. Because that was a system where every country needed to purchase oil and gas and diesel in dollars. But that system has changed now. In the olden day, a few decades ago, every country needed to have millions or even billions of dollars on hand to prove that they could pay for their oil, gasoline. And then the oil would be shipped to their country. The payment was guaranteed by what they had for currency in their bank vaults. But that is something that has just changed. And now there's no more need for the dollars. Oil can be bought in any currency. And so all those dollars are not needed. And at one point, they will come flooding back to the United States of America. And that will cause another devaluation of the dollar, because there are just too many dollars in the country. And that will be inflationary. Now, the big bankers, they know this. They understand money. They understand debit and credit and interest, all that. And the big money people are knowing what's going on, and they're directing it. This has happened over and over in history. Yes, in ancient times, Babylon, Egypt, Greece, Rome. It has happened over and over again, and the currencies collapsed for one reason or another. And even in the last 100 years, there was Germany and Austria and Zimbabwe, not to mention Russia, Mexico, and Argentina, and Greece. All these countries have had a destabilization problem because of printing too many of their national currency bills. And, of course, in the United States, we're doing that again. It's the same pattern. Yes, it's in history. Yes, it's in the Bible. And yes, we're going to have a big, seriously bad effect from it. So maybe we cannot predict what will happen. Oh, well, actually, we can predict what will happen. We just don't know when it will happen. So there's biblical examples, there's worldly examples, and we do know that there's going to be an economical hard time coming, as we have ignored monetary, economic, and biblical principles. So we know there's going to be trouble coming. The principles have been ignored, and we have borrowed too much money personally, corporately, as governments, all of it. So we're going to have a big effect from what we have done in the past. And the sound money principles are not known anymore because the people don't know the Bible principles. And so we're going to have to just do the best we can with all the trouble that is coming. And we can only guess what it is, but we know it's going to be devalued. Our money will get less valuable. So tough times are coming, and we want to build up what we can for the tough times. That is taken right out of world history and biblical history, and we're going to learn. Not fun to think about what's going to happen, but there are always ways that we can prepare for the instability that is coming. And that's something we each get to think about. What do we want to have on hand? And the Bible tells us famine is coming. So what are we going to have on hand? Do you know how to store your food, your basic food? What happens if the electricity goes out? How will you store your food? Are you going to really rely on grains and salt and sugar? If that's the case, you do have to prepare it a little bit, maybe by freezing it, maybe by having diatomaceous earth in it, maybe to buy it in number 10 cans. Or we will all do it differently. And the thing is there might not be one way to do it, or if there is, it will be quite costly. But we do what we can on the way. Will we buy white rice? Sure, white rice is wonderful, and then store it appropriately. You always have to pay attention to how you're going to store anything, anything at all. Even I've listened to people who say you want to have some energy bars or something. You want to have bags of sugar or bags of rice or anything. You have to realize that everything that we eat will get old and hard to eat. So you might have to cook it to softness. You might have to preserve it as you put it away. It's not just an easy thing. It takes a little thought or study to know what to do. And so if we're going to have that difficulty in the future, we have to study what we're going to do. And it is in history. There's human history, there's economic history, and the patterns have been long established, and there have been people who tell you what to do, how to preserve the things like food. Whoa, it's a study. It's not just the easiest thing to do, just like in the olden days of 100 or 1,000 years ago. It was a whole special knowledge that people had. They knew how to preserve food, and they knew what to do. And nowadays, we just seem to not know anymore. We seem to want to go to the grocery store or the fast food store and just buy what we need for the short term. Well, it's a choice. We all make a choice, and then we all get the consequences of our choice, whether it's with food or the economy. The economy. The banks are having a discussion of having, they're telling their very best customers that there's going to be trouble coming, and that they want to stay away from things that are in United States assets. They say, go into all the world and make your monies be spread around so that the money will survive in different countries. And the Treasury is a part of that too. And it's not just an easy answer. Unfortunately, we have to study this question. And the study will tell us better what to do. Because if everybody does the same thing, if they listen to the money experts, you have a pretty similar pattern. And then you don't have one person doing one thing and another person doing another thing. So somehow we're going to get through it, but it's better to get through it comfortably than with great difficulty. So as I think about that, those big bankers, there is a great big talk about having a central bank digital currency. And that has happened in India. Well, it was about 2016-17 that India said, our money is no longer going to be good. You have to have a card. And China said that in 2022. It's called demonetizing the currency. So any currency that anybody had no longer had value. The banks would not accept the currency except for a few months. And they gave you a card or a digital currency. So that has already gone on. Will it happen to the United States? It sure is looking like it. And that U.S. President Biden, he has already made the executive order to tell the federal branches about what to do to prepare for a central bank digital currency. So you want to avoid that? Maybe you can. You better, because it is a part of the beast system. Well, that's what I see. I see it as a part of the beast system where no man will buy and sell without having something, whatever it is. We have things that are coming, whether it's the central bank digital currency or the artificial intelligence that is telling everybody what to do. Well, I think it will get to that point. And so what are we going to do as Christians to avoid this? Things are going to change. And sure, we don't exactly know how, but we know that a new system is coming, and it might be the system of the fourth beast that's in the Daniel there. And so we have to just remember that we want to be a part of God's kingdom for whatever is coming. Now, there are people who will want to donate to God's kingdom too, and maybe we should do that now while our dollars still have value. So give that some thought, and then think about how you can be faithful to God, how you can preach the good news of the gospel, or if you can't preach it, maybe you can support it. Send missionaries your dollars. Send them to churches that are doing that. There's a lot of people who are supporting missionaries around the world and in this country too. We need people to speak the word of God. There's a lot of things that are coming, and some of them are trouble, and some of them are just plain wonderful. But we want to be a part of God's kingdom and doing the good work of our Lord. America has so many things in it, so many good things. We want to preserve America, preserve the freedom to worship. And we know that in the world there's a lot of trouble coming. And what are we going to do about it? There are forces that want to destroy godliness and that want to destroy America for what it represents. Now, to me, that's just plain obvious, but if it's not to you, then study it a little harder, I'd think. Well, we want to stay strong in every way, in our preparations, in our economy, in our personal preparedness, all of that. Let's stay strong and be of good cheer with Jesus Christ. We want to use our understanding, our heart and our mind to do what is in God's will. That's just something every one of us want to do. So let's do it. And be careful for what we do as a pattern, how we live normally with that normalcy bias. We might want to do a little more, like not just buy gasoline when our gauge gets towards empty. Maybe we want to keep our gas tank filled when it reaches half a tank. Maybe we want to pay more attention to what food we have for the just in case. We see things going on right now. We know there have been millions and millions of egg laid and chickens that have been culled, they say, because of bird flu. Is that the truth? Yeah, sure. But it sure does not help our food supply when we have had millions and millions of egg-laying chickens culled, killed. And how is this going to influence in the future? We have things that are just, we can't imagine how serious things are when we have a 40% increase in the death rate. That was in 2021. And it happened right after the COVID-19 vaccines were forced. So is this something that we know for sure? Well, some people know it for sure, and some people are sure that it wasn't it. Anyway, we all get to look at into all of this with our own intellect, with our own spiritual mind, and try to understand what is coming in our future and what we can do about it to preserve life, to show the world the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. And it makes it a little more difficult when there are powers that be that expect a new beast economic system, and they expect a central bank digital currency. So are we going to go along with it, or are we going to stay outside the system? Well, if we think we're going to stay out the system, you sure better do some planning, because they are planning to include you and everyone in the system. So it might be that the difficult times will cause more people to turn to Jesus. And if that's the case, then you want to stand there with people who need an understanding of what Jesus is doing in the world and who Jesus is and how we can love Jesus. Jesus loves us, and how we can love our neighbor and have that mutual loving going on where we care for one another. Just listen to all the things that are going on. Listen to preachers, listen to radio broadcasts, listen to what the Bible says, read it out loud to one another, remember scripture. All these things are good, and we have to see what is going on and what we're going to do about it. As everybody has a different idea about what the future holds, but there are different ways to show our love one towards another, and this will be a beautiful thing of showing love and in the midst of the violence that goes on in the world, in the shortages of food. We somehow will find a way to show our Christian love to one another and being wise about it. I was thinking about how people under the Nazis, a lot of people were discovered to be Jews or Christians or people they didn't want in the society, and they were killed. And that's something we have to be aware of, too. We might have to be smart. Oh, wise. We might have to be wise in the midst of persecution. And so that is another thing that we want to be aware of in the coming days. For whatever is coming, will it be a major attack? Will it be economic or military? Yeah, there's reasons to say all of this, and people know it. And what are we going to have on hand? Everyone is going to be different for what they have on hand. And we get to share what we have with other people. And that's the part of the loveliness of loving one another as we share whatever it is. I mean, we think of water, we think of food, we think of first aid. But also remember the regular things like clothing or a stocking cap or something that just helps us along. Maybe it's chapstick. Maybe it's triple antibiotic ointment and gauze pads. There are things that every one of us can have on hand, whether it's sleeping bags and tents or a jacket or something that people will need as the days become more difficult. It can be as simple as nail clippers or scissors to cut the hair or maps and a compass even. Everybody has a different idea of what we will need. Maybe you will need your identification documents. Maybe you will need pepper spray. Maybe you will need needles and threads to mend your clothes. Well, it's all going to be quite interesting for what is coming, and we can only guess what it really will be. But there are ways to show your love and compassion to other people. And that's something that we do as Christians in our born-again experience as times get tough. Will they? Well, the Bible talks about tough times coming. And what are we going to do when we see the things around us getting tough in other countries? And we see the persecution of Christians and Jews. We see wars and rumors of war. We see violence. What are we going to do to protect ourselves? Are we going to become a community that shows compassion one to another? Are we going to have things to sell? Sure, silver quarters, silver 1 ounce bullion coins. Or if you're really rich, get a few gold ones. There are always things we can do to prepare for the unknown and the unexpected. And it might be flashlights and batteries. It might be to have a whistle on your keychain so that you can communicate with somebody if the phones ever stop working, if the electricity ever stops working. Will you need to plant a garden? Do you have garden seeds? Do you have garden tools? Do you have a hose to water? Do you have water containers for drinking water? All these things are what some people know to get and some people don't. It's a matter of looking at what we might need because we never know. Will it be socks for our shoes? Will it be a Bible and a hymnal? Will it be knowing how to pray for people who have a need? Will it be showing love and hope to people? These are all things that we can do as Christians, as we learn how to pray for people that we run into because they will need hope. And our best hope is in Jesus Christ. And yes, we think about heaven, but we also think about how we can help people here in the middle of their life on earth. There are wonderful things to happen when we show love to one another. And it can just be using wisdom as we show our love. It can be helping people that have been persecuted. And maybe it's with money, maybe it's with goods, and maybe it's with prayer. But there are always ways to show our love in the midst of the countries that are having trouble all over the world. Are we willing to be a missionary? Do you say you belong to God? How do we belong to God? I would think the best answer would be we obey God. And how many people are obeying God when the road gets tough? And of course, I think about the narrow road going to that heavenly place and the wide road going to hell. And I say, make sure that you are on the narrow road that goes to that heavenly place. There are many who will think they're going to heaven, but they're not committed. And I don't know what it takes to be committed. I know Jesus will tell you, and I hope that you know before the end of your life so that you are fully committed to Jesus and ready to obey what Jesus tells us to do in the Bible. That's your best source of understanding the Bible that God has given us. And so we say, yes, Lord, show me, and remember to pray those little prayers. You can pray for yourself for understanding or for obedience. You can pray for other people. When you see somebody going by and thinking that they might need something, whether it's shoes or food, or what about the ambulance going by? Can we say a little prayer for the people who the ambulance is going to help? Can you say a little prayer for people in trouble? There are people in trouble everywhere, all over our cities, all over our towns, our friends, our relatives. They all need a little prayer. Our pastors need prayer. Everybody needs prayer. So remember to take a moment, half a minute, a quarter of a minute, and say something to God and ask God to do the goodness that he does in the world. Ask him for help and guidance, just like we do right now. Lord, guide us and protect us. And we pray in Jesus' name and amen. I'm always hoping that there's going to be a little bit of support coming in and to Christ Today. So if you have a little support that you can send, that would be wonderful. I do also have my preparedness papers that I send for free. And if you have a self-addressed envelope, that would be just wonderful. That way I know the address is right if you address it. So send, if you have something to send me, it's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And stay close to Jesus. Feel his love and love him back. God bless you.